On the 19th of January 1981, he got on his bike and started cycling down the lane. Although he was only 13 years old, he knew the lane very well. He had been cycling that lane for many years already. But he did not get to school that morning. Instead, he went to hospital, where he stayed for 2 weeks and was unconscious for 5 days, having suffered a fractured skull. The medics warned his parents that he may not survive, and yet, after many people had been praying for him, he made a full recovery. Back in the day, very few people had heard of cycle helmets, and even less people actually wore one. This was, after all, January 1981, just 3 months after Britain had launched the Austin Mini Metro. Safety was not a massive priority back then. But would he have fared better if he had been wearing a cycle helmet? This morning we are continuing our look at the full armour of God as found in Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to be focusing especially on the helmet of salvation. Let's remind ourselves of those key words that Paul is teaching us from Ephesians 6 verses 10 to 17. As he draws to the close of his letter, he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." This morning we are being warned to protect our heads with salvation, with the helmet of salvation. You must look after your head. It is, after all, the information room of your life. This is the place where you receive reports, you weigh up evidence, you consider solutions, you analyze data, you make decisions. And this is the place from which you make press statements too. Think about it, my friends. Every word that we speak and every action that we make has been controlled by our minds, the information room in our heads. We must all look after our heads, because if we lose our head, we lose our life. And there is a Romanian proverb that says, "If you lose your head, woe to your feet." A person can lose their head if someone attacks them and physically chops off their head, but we can all lose our head in another sense too. here are some dictionary definitions for losing one's head. To panic and not remain calm in a difficult situation. To stop thinking clearly. To stop being sensible. To worry or feel nervous about something. Have you ever lost your head? Or perhaps I should say, how often do you lose your head? Let's be honest, we all lose our heads more often than we care to admit. And the Apostle Paul is inviting us to protect our heads with salvation. That is to say, to wrap salvation around our heads so that we will not lose our heads. And of course, the enemy, our enemy, wants us to lose our heads. And with all those flaming arrows flying around that we read about just now, we could very easily lose our heads. What are the five senses in the human body? Let's see if I can remember. We've got seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and feeling. Four of them take place exclusively in the head. That is, of course, seeing, hearing, smelling, and tasting. And the last one, feeling, takes place in the whole body, including in the head. You can see how important is the head. If we lose our head, we lose our senses. And if we lose our senses, we lose our sense. We have got to protect our heads. We have got to protect our senses and our sense with the helmet of salvation. Everything that we sense must be filtered through the helmet of salvation. Now, the Apostle Paul would have been very familiar with Roman soldiers back in the day. And as I understand, their armour was very advanced for the time. The helmet also protected the neck. And yet, I suspect that by modern standards, the protection was not that great. If you want full protection today, you probably need something a cross between a motorcycle helmet and a respirator, protecting the skull and the eyes, ears, nose, and mouth too, filtering the air and protecting from extremes of temperature as well as chemical attack, and even protecting the ears too from extremes of noise. Now, whilst no man-made helmet will ever offer 100% protection, God's salvation is 100% protection for our heads and for our senses too. As we receive reports, weigh up evidence, consider solutions, analyze data, make decisions, and commit ourselves to action, to speaking, and to doing. When we receive information that is really going to affect us, perhaps for many years to come, this is when we need to be protected by the helmet of salvation. So, for example, when we get an exam result, when we get a reply or no reply from a job application, when we get results from the doctors, when we get a school report for ourselves or for our children, let us filter all of this information through the helmet of salvation. When we look at something, Let us look through the helmet of salvation. When we hear something, let us listen through the helmet of salvation. And even when we smell something, let us consider the aroma through the filters on the helmet of salvation. And when we taste something, let's make sure that our taste buds have been protected by the helmet of salvation. All of us have to make so many decisions day by day in our lives. And of course, it's in our minds, in our heads, that we are making those decisions. What is good for us? We need to decide. What is bad for us? What is truly desirable? What is repulsive? What is healthy? What is toxic? To answer these questions, we must be filtering all the information through the helmet of salvation. And we've got all this way into the message without asking ourselves, now, what is salvation? So let's do that now. What is salvation? Well, put simply, salvation is us, sinful people, being saved by God. And if we are going to keep our heads whilst everyone around us are losing theirs, then we need to hang on to God's wonderful salvation. And that changes the way we feel about ourselves and about others too. The Bible calls us to be humble, and pride is, of course, the opposite of being humble. Being humble is not, as people sometimes assume, about thinking badly about yourself. No, being humble is about thinking correctly about yourself. And of course, that is correctly not according to the world's definition, but according to God's definition. God wants us to be humble, so it is not surprising that one of the devil's favourite schemes is to encourage us to become proud. The Old Testament book of 1 Samuel tells us about Israel's first king, a man named Saul. And whilst Saul started out humble enough, he later became proud. He stopped obeying the word of the Lord through the prophet Samuel. And he even set up a monument in his own honour. Although King Saul started out small in his own eyes, tragically, he gave way to pride. Now, do you know one of the problems with pride? Pride is often accompanied by depression, and we swing from one extreme to the other. We go from thinking that we are the best to thinking that we are the worst. We fool ourselves that we are better than others, which is not helpful at all. We overdose on pride, and as we come down from that high, we fall into the depths of depression and despair, believing that we are worse than everyone else. Spiritually, we are junkies chasing what will give us a high, but it never lasts. We lose our heads and fall into the pit of despair. And that, my friends, is why we need to protect our heads. That is why we need the helmet of salvation. Let's put it like this. I am not better than everyone else, and I am not worse than everyone else. I am the same as everyone else, and I am worse than God, much worse than God, because God is holy and I am sinful. And when I speak about I, making this personal, of course I'm speaking to all of us. The Bible says that everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That comes from Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Everyone has sinned, including me, including you. So I am not worse than anyone else, and I am not better than anyone else. So there really is no point in being proud. And just like everyone else, I have a problem that needs solving. We all have a problem that needs solving, and that is, of course, the problem of sin. And that is not a problem that we can solve ourselves. But like everyone else who has been born again, I have been justified by grace. That is, freely made right with God by the sacrifice of Christ Jesus on the cross. Let me read those verses in full. That's Romans 3, 23 to 24, because they speak for themselves so clearly. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Do you see how important it is to be wearing non-stop the helmet of salvation, so that we see ourselves and others through the filter on the helmet of salvation? Let me ask you another question. How do you feel when you see bad people doing bad things in the world? Do you ever wish that they would get what they deserve? I guess, if we're honest, that we all think like this at times. And that is when we know that we have taken off our helmet. If we are not wearing the helmet of salvation, we start to judge others as bad people, forgetting that we are bad people too. Bad people, that is, who have been saved by grace. Do you know what we would get if we got what we deserve? We would get our full payment. We would receive our wages in full with nothing missing. If we got from God what we deserved, we would get our wages in full with no deductions for tax or national insurance. But do you know what our wages would be? You see, the Bible is very specific, and we would all get the same wages. Alas, you may say, there would at least be equality. Yes, there would be equality. We would all get the same. Because Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death for everyone who has ever sinned. And that is equality. Everyone is treated the same. But it is not the kind of equality that people probably seek. I doubt if people would go on marches or demonstrations for equality such as this. How many people would go on a hunger strike to receive equal wages if the wages would be death? No one would go on a hunger strike so that they could receive the wages of sin, that is death. But one man went even further. One man went to the cross, his name is Jesus, so that we who deserve death could instead receive life. You see, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is what we call salvation. And putting on the helmet of salvation means that we always remember exactly this fact. Let's just recap. Romans chapter 3 says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." And just a few chapters later, Romans chapter 6 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is the way to wear the helmet of salvation. And this, my friends, is the only way to keep our heads. Do you remember the 13-year-old boy who had a bike accident back in 1981? He was not wearing a helmet. Would he have fared better if he had been wearing a helmet? It is now just over 40 years since my bike accident. And there is something I have often thought and said about those days, about who really suffered as a result of my accident. Yes, I suffered a fractured skull, and yes, I was unconscious for 5 days, but what about my family, my two brothers, and especially my mum and dad? It was my mum who received the phone call from the lady who lived down the lane just a few minutes after I left the house. That awful phone call saying, "I think it is your son." It was mum who rushed out of the house, hardly washed or dressed, who arrived at the scene just as the ambulance arrived. It was mum who went with me in the ambulance. And then it was mum and dad and my two brothers and loads of other people too who feared the worst and yet hoped and prayed for my recovery. The Apostle Paul is warning us to protect our heads, to take the helmet of salvation. Take up the shield of faith, we are told, with which we can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. And then we are told to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We must put on the helmet of salvation. We must protect our heads for our own sake and for the sake of those around us. If we continue in the manner I described earlier, without the helmet of salvation protecting our heads, if we continue as spiritual junkies knocking around between pillar and post, going from one extreme to the other, from pride to depression, we not only lose our heads and put our own life in danger, we risk damaging the people around us too. If we do not put on the helmet of salvation, if we do not remember that we are sinners saved by grace, if we let that toxic cocktail of pride and depression take hold, we end up hurting those who we love. We must constantly be wearing the helmet of salvation so as to live abundant life as children of God. And we must keep that helmet of salvation in place, protecting our heads so as to be able to fulfill our roles as fathers and mothers, sisters and brothers, husbands and wives, neighbours and members together of Christ's body, the church. In Psalm 27, which Claire and Edward read to us earlier, the psalmist says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an enemy besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident." The psalmist is wearing the helmet of salvation. He is benefiting from the light of God. He can be confident even in a time of war and conflict because the Lord is his light and his salvation. He is seeing things God's way. And this will be a massive blessing to the psalmist himself and to the people around him. And then in Mark chapter 8, which Cindy read to us, Jesus challenged his disciples, saying, "Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember?" How important it is for all of us to view the world through the helmet of salvation and to hear everything the world shouts at us and the things that God is whispering to us, filtered through the helmet of salvation. And just in case we need more convincing, in Matthew chapter 6, which Karen read to us earlier, Jesus reminds us of the need for good eye health. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? We need to protect our eyes, and only the helmet of salvation can offer the protection we need. We need to see the world as God sees it, not only for our own blessing, but also for the sake of the people around us. So let us keep wearing the helmet of salvation, keeping in mind at all times that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Let us keep wearing the helmet of salvation, remembering that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is our helmet of salvation. Let us wear it with gratitude and with joy. Amen.